Oasis Audio presents Why Pro-Life by Randy Alcorn. Read for you by the author.
Section 1, The Basics. Chapter 1, Why Talk About Abortion? A representative of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, spoke in a high school class on the merits of abortion. A student asked the teacher if I could come to present the pro-life position. When I arrived a week later, the pro-choice instructor informed me that his students had voted 23-1 for the pro-choice position. I presented the case for the humanity and rights of unborn children. I showed intrauterine photographs demonstrating the development of the unborn at the earliest stages abortions are performed. After the class, the teacher said to me, "If we were to vote again, the outcome would be different. Minds were changed." Then he added something remarkable. "You know, until today, I'd never heard the pro-life position." We pride ourselves on being open-minded and providing a fair and fact-oriented education. Yet here was a 55-year-old social science teacher with a master's degree who'd never once heard the pro-life position. He had uncritically accepted the pro-choice position from others, and his students had done the same. The surprising trend. Not many years ago, it appeared the pro-life position might die of old age. Young people seemed so immersed in moral relativism and tolerance-driven postmodern society that it appeared they would eventually become uniformly pro-choice. But the surprising recent development is that more young people than their parents now oppose abortion. A recent Gallup survey of teenagers found that 72% believe abortion is morally wrong. Only 19% believe abortion should be legal in all circumstances, compared to 26% of adults. About 32% of teens, compared to 17% of adults, thought abortion should never be permitted. This was confirmed by a subsequent national poll and evidenced by larger numbers of teenagers participating in the National March for Life. Contemporary websites reach out to young women, encouraging them to choose life. Many young people are refusing to accept their culture's defense of abortion. In Why Pro-Life, I'll present factual and compassionate reasons that explain and validate this movement away from the pro-choice to a pro-life perspective. In the written book, I have over 180 footnotes documenting all the facts I cite in this audiobook. I won't be reading the bibliographic information, but it's important for you to know that the facts in this book are carefully researched and documented. The defining issue of our age. Abortion is America's most frequently performed surgery on women. One out of four children conceived is surgically aborted, with an unknown but growing number of chemical abortions. Since 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, this means half of unplanned pregnancies are terminated by abortion. There are about 1.2 million reported abortions in the United States every year. In the U.S., 43% of women of childbearing age have had or will have abortions. Virtually every family at some level has been touched by abortion. The stakes in this issue are extraordinarily high. If the pro-choice position is correct, the freedom to choose abortion is a basic civil right. If the pro-life position is correct, the 3,700 abortions occurring every day in America are human casualties, more than all lives lost in the September 11, 2001 destruction of the World Trade Center. Abortion is the ultimate hot button. The very word raises powerful emotions. Among issues people feel strongly about, abortion ranks number one, above anti-Semitism, alcohol abuse, homelessness, the death penalty, pornography, and flag burning. A recent Gallup poll indicated 26% of Americans say they are very strongly pro-choice, while 29% say they are very strongly pro-life. Taken together, that means 55% of Americans hold a very strong view on abortion, and they are almost evenly split in their beliefs. Since the other 45% aren't firm in their opinions, and since many who once felt very strongly have changed their beliefs, likely more than half of Americans can still be influenced in their thinking about abortion. A Christian perspective. Some Christian readers may think, well, this book isn't for us. It's unchurched people who are having abortions. In fact, 43% of women obtaining abortions identify themselves as Protestant, and 27% identify themselves as Catholic. So 2/3 of America's abortions are obtained by those with a Christian affiliation. 18% of all U.S. abortions are performed on women who identify themselves as born-again or evangelical Christians. That's nearly 250,000 abortions each year in Bible-believing churches. The abortion issue isn't about the church needing to speak to the world. It's about the church needing to speak to itself first and then to the world. Though I'm a Christian, I don't make many arguments from the Bible in this book. I've done that elsewhere. The case I present here is grounded in medical science and reliable psychological studies. These sources should be as credible to any truth-respecting agnostic as they are to Christians. Indeed, many non-Christians oppose abortion. I'm a strong believer in women's rights. I have the deepest respect for my wife and my daughters, whom we raised to respect themselves and to be grateful God made them female. I don't want to understate the trauma women have gone through in making abortion-related decisions. No one understands suffering like Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. The chapter on finding God's forgiveness is one I need as much as anyone. This book presents facts and logic infused with grace and compassion that can help us root our beliefs in reality. I have one request of you. If you're pro-choice and listening to a book titled Why Pro-Life, then good for you. I hope this means you have an open mind. If the pro-life side proves to be as senseless and irrational as you may have been led to believe, fine. You can give it the first-hand rejection it deserves. But if it proves to be sensible, then I encourage you, rethink your position. If you're one of those many who are on the fence with mixed feelings, I ask you to make this book part of a quest for truth. You can hear the pro-choice position anywhere. Just turn on a TV or read the newspaper. But this may be your only opportunity to examine the pro-life position. If you are pro-life, I ask you to think through your beliefs. It isn't good enough to say, I know I'm right, but I'm not sure why. We should base our beliefs on the evidence. If we're wrong on any point, by all means, let's revise our position. If we're right, we need to learn how to intelligently and graciously inform others. One thing is certain. If abortion really does kill children and harm women, then there's too much at stake to stand on the fringes and do nothing.